So I would encourage you to find your card. This is our final week in the series, Attitude is Everything. We hope that you have been taking these with you, putting them on your computer or on your visor, wherever it might be to remind you, or in your wallet to remind you what we've been talking about here. But we're going to start there today. Have you ever been stuck before? I think a lot of people get stuck and they don't know what to do. They don't know how to move forward, don't know how to shake things up. Now, I don't know if this story is true or not, but a friend of mine who happens to have a PhD in engineering told me this, so I'm going to believe him, and let's see if you might as well. He said, he was telling me about how BIC makes their lighters, you know, the little lighters. He said they put all the parts into a machine, and then the machine shakes it up, and somehow all the pieces fall out in together into a little lighter, and the lighter comes dropping out the bottom of the machine. I heard a no right away. Well, darn it, I really wanted to believe him, but I do love the concept, the idea, because I think a lot of times we do get stuck. And I like this idea of just shaking things up and seeing what drops out when we are stuck. Because what kind of things do we get stuck in? Maybe we get stuck in the idea about money or debt. Maybe we get stuck in a food addiction or some other type of addiction. Or maybe we're stuck in what people think of us. Or maybe we're really not happy in a relationship and it's not very fulfilling, but we just don't know how to get out of it. Maybe there's an unsatisfying job, or you have all those supplies for a room that needs to be painted and they just keep sitting there because you're stuck in not knowing how to get started. What might you be stuck in? I would encourage you to take your little card and on the back, if you can find a pen or a pencil, write on the top what you might be stuck in. And we're going to come back to that. If you don't want to write it down, just think about it. Where might you be stuck? Because I think when we are stuck, I think this keeps us from fully engaging and encountering Christ in all of our lives. In Scripture today, we hear some of that in Mark's Gospel. Jesus has just calmed the storm. He heals one called Legion, casts out a demon. His reputation has started spreading, and we heard that a large crowd is following him. And here he meets some people that are stuck. Jairus, a leader of the synagogue. Now, a leader is trained to be a competent person, a person that is supposed to get things done and supposed to be able to keep it all together. But Jairus' daughter is ill, very sick. So this sick to the point of almost death, and that shakes up his world. And he gets anxious, and he gets stuck and desperate, and needs something to change that situation. And then we meet this woman who's been hemorrhaging for 12 years, I think it said, who has no social standing, who has no advocate, who's ill, considered unclean, has no money left after trying all sorts of doctors and cures, lives in isolation within this community, definitely stuck in her situation, desperate, looking for a way out. And then our theme text today comes from Galatians chapter 5. Galatians is a book that written by Paul to the people of Galatia. And in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. Now, taken out of context, that's very confusing, because what is this harness of slavery all about? Well, in this particular community, people were stuck in that Old Testament law of circumcision. Right after this verse 1, Paul starts talking about circumcision versus uncircumcision. And Paul says that neither one of those matters. Doesn't count for anything. The only thing that counts is faith working through love. Freedom for Paul is service and love of the neighbor. which is a gift from Jesus Christ. You have a choice. You have options, Paul says. You can live fully under the slavery of the Old Testament law, or you can live in the freedom, in the gift of Jesus Christ. Now, I would bet that some of us can probably relate to some of this stuckness that we hear in our stories today. We may feel so bombarded by outside influences or life circumstances that we feel that we have no options. We see no options. We keep forgetting that there are even options out there. This is when we feel stuck, immobilized, maybe even depressed. So how do we reframe this thinking? Well, with a lot of hard work and a lot of time. And maybe we can learn something from our characters in Mark's gospel today. Jairus and this woman reached out in their stuckness to new possibilities, to new hope, taking a chance, taking a risk, not necessarily knowing what was behind each of the doors. Our doors aren't coming up. Can you press the door slide? Thank you. Taking a look at all of the options. Which TV show is it that option door 1, 2, 3? Is that The Price is Right? Yeah, oh. Let's make a deal. Okay, even better. Well, we're not making any deals today. We're just going to choose some options because we do have options. Now, I don't know if you are aware, but the last 2 weeks of social media have gone ablaze. Lots of stuff has happened in our country in the last 2 weeks. And I've come to realize and recognize that people across the country have options, different options and different ways to respond. If we look at the Charleston incident and the alleged shooter, Dylan Roof, he had choices. When he walked into that Bible study, he had the choice to accept that message of grace and love. He had the choice of seeing humanity in the people instead of stereotypes. He even had the choice to take his voice, his opinion, into a different avenue of social media rather than using a gun. He had choices. In Charleston alone, the people, the families, they had choices in how to respond. They could have responded with very harsh words, but instead they chose words of forgiveness. A forgiveness that Dylan could not even imagine. Across the state, across the country, people had choices in how they wanted to respond, with racial division or the thousandfold that marched on the Bridge of Peace. They had choices. We have a choice in how we feel, in how we act, and how we respond to this situation. We can choose which door of God's light and love we're going to walk through. And then there's SCOTUS, legalizing same-sex marriage across the United States. Justice Kennedy saying, "No union is more profound than marriage. Two people become something greater than they once were." Now, we can agree or disagree with the Supreme Court decision. We have a choice in how we feel, in how we act, and how we respond. Social media has been ablaze the past few days. And the one thing that I've noticed most on my feed, in particular, is that people agree to disagree. People recognize the celebration of some and the lament of others. People have made a choice in how they feel and how they respond and how they act. Which door of light and love will we respond to? Which door will we walk through? Let's talk about some other situations. What if your teenager or relative called and says that he's been in an accident? Now you have a choice to respond with panic, anger, and freak out, or you have the choice to say, "I'm thankful that you called." Which one of those might be a door of light and love? Or maybe there's a work situation. You choose to be frustrated about what's happening, or you maybe look at it as a teachable moment. Or maybe there's gossip in the hallway. You can choose to join in. You can choose not to repeat. You can choose to speak up against gossip. We have choices. We have this freedom grounded in our Christian love. My favorite is a mother who said this week that her child keeps throwing the same Cheerios on the floor. She keeps picking up the same bald socks a gazillion times. Now, she can choose to yell and get upset at her child, or she can take deep breaths and remember that her child is two. We have choices. We have options with light and love behind each option. Whatever the situation, that choice for us, for Christians, is always based and grounded in God's love. Now, maybe we can't find those options on our own. Maybe that's why we need this type of community coming together to have a voice with one another. What choices do you have in your thing that you are stuck on? You may want to jot those down or bring those to mind. What choices do you have? You know, this week I've been pretty freaked out. My car broke on Wednesday to the point of not repairable as much as it was worth. So I had to go and get a new car yesterday, new used car. And I was all freaked out. I talked to people here at church. I talked to my neighbors. I was just freaking out about what to do, where to go to buy a car. And one of my neighbors came to my door and said, "Jennifer, you are not the first person to ever buy a car." I said, "Yes, thank you. Thank you for that." And it was a lovely experience going to this car dealership and the people I got to meet and the car I got to drive away with, and it was fantastic. But it took that person basically slapping me in the face and saying, "You have a choice in how you're going to respond to whatever crisis you are in. You have a choice." In our scripture today, we heard some choices. We heard a radical welcome of love to a woman who has been sick for many years. We heard of an unseen healing of a little girl that no one could imagine. We heard of a gift and a promise and a hope that God's love is so much greater than whatever crisis we are in. That's the real power of the healing and grace of God in Christ that will overcome my anxieties, my weaknesses, my concerns, everything that is going on in our lives, because that love changes lives. That's the love that shines through these doors of options. That's the life that we get to encounter in Christ. That's the life that gives us new hope, new identity, and a new love. That's the attitude to take into our world. Always remembering that we have options, and thanks be to God for those.